תפילת החברים.
The prayer of the friends. Creator.
אנו מודים לך.
We thank you for the opportunity to give you contentment.
יהי רצון שאור אהבתך.
May there be a desire that the light of your love will bring us the correction of the evil inclination.
אנו מתפללים.
We pray that we can try more and more
to
reach the goal of being in adhesion with you. We ask that the love of friends will raise us to the connection of the hearts as one. Help us be an example of unity to all of humanity and to show them that there is none else besides you.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a depth to go into here.
What is to warn the great about the small in the work? Our sages said, say, and you said, to warn the great about the small. Rashi interprets this as follows. Say to the priests, son of Aaron, and you said two sayings. Why warn the great about the small? So they will not be defiled. We should understand the novelty about warning the great about the small. When speaking of the work, at which time we speak of one body, what is the warning the great about the small imply to? That is, who is the small when we learn within one body? Who is the great? That it comes to tell us that we must warn the great about the small. It is known that the labor and the work that we must give in Torah and Mitzvot is because we're born with a nature that we want to receive for ourselves. Therefore, in everything we do, and which the will to receive enjoys, we cannot speak of labor. It is as we see in our world, that a person is never unhappy when he is hungry, but has a nice smelling meal. And say that now he is going to do hard work, and great labor, in that now he is going to eat. Since where there is pleasure, we cannot speak of work and labor. Accordingly, we should understand this. Since the Torah is called, for they are our lives and the length of our days, so, why is it said that a person must labor in the Torah? Is there anyone who does not want to live and enjoy life? It is written about it, who are nicer than gold, and from much fine gold, and sweeter from honey and honeycomb. Therefore, why is it considered labor when we observe Torah and Mitzvot? The answer is that if the pleasure in Torah and Mitzvot were revealed to all, the whole world would certainly observe Torah and Mitzvot. This is as it is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot. If, for example, the Creator were to establish open providence with His creations, such that, for instance, anyone who eats a forbidden thing would immediately choke. And anyone who performed a mitzvah, commandment, would discover wonderful pleasures in it, similar to the finest delights in this corporeal world. Then, what fool would even think of tasting a forbidden thing, knowing that he would immediately lose his life because of it? Just as one does not consider jumping into a fire. Also, what fool would leave any commandment without performing it as quickly as possible? As one cannot retire or linger with a great corporeal pleasure that comes into his hand without receiving it as quickly as he can. Thus, if providence were open before us, all the people in the world would be complete righteous. We should therefore ask, why is providence not revealed? But rather, we must believe in reward and punishment. Would it not be better if everything were revealed? The answer is that since we must achieve dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, which is equivalence of form, because of it, we must do everything for the sake of the Creator, meaning in order to bestow contentment upon one's Maker. If the reward and punishment in Torah and Mitzvot were revealed, it would be impossible to work for the sake of the Creator, since the pleasure would force a person to observe Torah and Mitzvot. We see that when a pleasure is revealed in corporeality, although it is only a pleasure that is a tiny light compared to the pleasure in Torah and Mitzvot, how difficult it is for a person to say that everything he does is in order to bestow. Otherwise, he would relinquish the corporeal pleasures if he could not aim in order to bestow upon the Creator. Therefore, with the great pleasures found in Torah and Mitzvot, it would certainly be impossible to be able to say that if he cannot aim in order to bestow, he gives them up. Hence, this correction was done, that before a person can say about the small pleasures in corporeal things, that he will receive them only on the condition that he can aim in order to bestow, he is placed under the restriction and concealment where he does not see any pleasure. Rather, he must believe that this is so. That is, a person must believe that the Creator leads all created beings with the guidance of the good who does good. This is as it is written in the article in Shamari. One should depict to oneself as if one has already been rewarded with whole faith in the Creator, and he already feels in his organs that the Creator leads the whole world in the form of the good who does good, meaning that the whole world receives from him only good. According to the above, it follows that when a person engages in faith in the Creator, he should dedicate some time to depicting how he would feel if he were rewarded with being near the Creator. And he would see with his own eyes the delight and pleasure extended to him and to all created beings. How high spirit and elated he would be. This depiction requires continuation. That his faith will be as knowing and seeing. Meaning that the measure of the faith should be like seeing and knowing. This is great work, because this is the path of truth. And it is, as it is written, truth and faith. Meaning that for his faith to be true, is specifically like this depiction, that he must believe in the measure of the greatness of the faith as though he actually saw it, that he was believing with his eyes. In other words, to the same extent that he was inspired when he saw, so should be his excitement when he does not see, but only believes that this is so. This is why it is called faith in the path of truth. That is, his faith is true as though he knew it. This is called true faith, or as it is written, truth and faith. And since the whole basis should be built on the foundation of faith, and at the same time we were given intellect and reason to understand everything with the intellect we have, it follows that faith is against our nature. For we can follow the intellect and not be stupid, doing things mindlessly. It follows that, on the one hand, a person is taught to walk according to the intellect and behave this way with one another.
But
when a person begins to observe Torah and mitzvot, he is told that although one should follow the intellect, still between man and the Creator, we were given faith. That is, we must believe in the sages and follow this path. Although it contradicts the intellect, as it is written, and I believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. In other words, we must believe what the sages said to us and not look at our intellect. But this contradicts our reason. Therefore, we have ups and downs. That is, at times, we can believe the words of the sages and depict before us the depiction of truth and faith, meaning that one's faith is true faith. Namely, that there is no intellect there, but everything is against our reason. What we understand. This is why it is called true faith or simple faith, since there is nothing to understand there, but everything is above reason. Hence, it is beyond man's power to always be on the same degree. Rather, he ascends and descends. As Baal HaSulam said, why is assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven called emunah, faith? It comes from the word oman, craftsman, or omenet, nanny. As she raises the child slowly until she rears him. Therefore, when working on the basis of faith, until we are rewarded with permanent faith, there is the matter of partial faith. For this reason, during the work, there are ups and downs. That is, sometimes a person can depict to himself the greatness and importance of Torah and Mitzvot, and also the greatness and importance of the giver of the Torah. In other words, when he can depict to himself the greatness and importance of the giver of the Torah, he feels that he is in a state of ascent. In other words, he feels that he is above the corporeal world. He sees people who follow corporeal things, as beasts and animals, who settle for the nourishments that suffice for the animal level. But as for himself, he feels that he can receive sustenance and be satisfied in his life only from what suits the speaking level. As it is written in the introductions, the whole merit of the speaking level in men is that he is fit to receive the sensation of godliness. And this does not pertain to the animate level. However, afterwards, he descends once more from his state and falls into the multiple authorities. That is, now he is in his own authority and not as before. Therefore, during the ascent, when he feels that there is no one in the world but the authority of the Creator, and he himself does not merit a name, since he wants to annul before him unconditionally, therefore, during the ascent, the person is in the singular authority, and during the descent, he is in multiple authorities, meaning that he already has two authorities. However, sometimes when a person falls into a state where he is worse than two authorities, since when a person says that there are two authorities, at least he believes that there is a creator to the world, which is one authority. That is, the creator is the host, and he does what he wants. But there is another authority, meaning that man too is a landlord and does in the world what he wants. At that time, the person wants the Creator to serve him according to his wish, meaning that the Creator should be at this person's service, and the Creator will serve this person according to this person's command. However, it's even worse when one does not believe at all that there is a Creator and a leader to the world. It follows that for this person, there is nothing more than his own singular authority. However, the person sees that many people have this view, and they all say that they are their own landlords. In other words, each one does what he needs and does not care about other people. If sometimes someone does something good for another, it is because he expects his friend to return him a favor and not be ungrateful. This is as it is written in the Zohar and in the preface about the verse, the mercy of the nations is a sin, since all that they do it for themselves. In other words, they will certainly receive something in return for the favor. At that time, the authority of many means many individuals. It follows that this is not regarded as two authorities, meaning the Creator's authority and man's authority. And the person still believes in the authority of the Creator. But when a person falls into the authority of many, individuals, he does not incorporate the Creator at all. And this is certainly the worst state. It follows that before one is rewarded with permanent faith, which is a gift of God, and not within man's hands, he is always in ascents and descents. At that time, the person needs heaven's mercy in order not to escape the campaign. At that time, the order of the work can be only during an ascent, meaning when he is in the authority of Kedusha, holiness. At that time, a person must work and pay attention to the state he was in during the descent. That is, during the ascent, he can calculate and see the difference between light and darkness. As it is written, as the advantage of the light out of darkness. In other words, at that time he can observe what our sages said, consider the cost of a mitzvah compared to its reward, and the reward of a transgression compared to its cost. In other words, during an ascent, the person understands that reception for oneself is considered a transgression, meaning that it removes him from the Creator, and there is no transgression greater than that. But during a descent, a person cannot understand that if he does not aim to bestow, it is considered a transgression, and that he should have the strength to believe that we must do everything for the sake of the Creator. Rather, he only believes what is written, that a person should observe the 613 mitzvot that the Creator commanded us through Moses to do.
But
he will certainly not commit a transgression, breaking what is written in the Torah. Rather, sometimes a person is angry at why the Creator treated us this way, forbidding us from so many things. That is, a person says that if the Creator had asked him about observing the mitzvot, he would have asked the Creator not to be so strict and forbid so many things that he covets. But nevertheless, he observes the mitzvot. However, during an ascent, a person is angry at the opposite. Why did the Creator make us do so many things that one must do, like eating and drinking?
it
would be better if he did not create them at all, and we would not have to do them. It follows that during the ascent, he wants to have fewer pleasures in the world. And during the descent, he is angry that the Creator forbade us many things that we could enjoy had the Torah not forbade them. We therefore see that there are ascents and descents when a person wants to be rewarded with adhesion with the Creator. Therefore, we should call the time of descent a state of katnut, smallness or infancy, and a state of ascent, a state of gadlut, greatness or adulthood. By this we can interpret what we asked about the meaning of what our sages said. Say, and you said, to warn the great about the small. We asked, how can we speak within one person about great and small? According to the above, we should interpret that great and small does not refer to two bodies, since in a work we learn everything within one body. Rather, great and small should be interpreted in two times in a single subject, meaning one person at two times. One, during the ascent, it is called great. Two, during a descent, it is called small. By this, we should interpret that when a person is in a state of ascent, he must pay attention and consider that he might come into a descent. And what is a descent? That is, who says that a descent is so bad? After all, he sees that there are many people who live and enjoy life, although they are in a state of descent. Therefore, when he himself is in a state of descent, he's taken after them, and then he too enjoys life like they do. However, we can say about that state of descent that this person had a road accident and he was hurt, and he is now unconscious. That is, he does not feel that he is in a state of descent. Rather, he enjoys the state he is in. And he does not feel a descent, since he has completely forgotten that there is spirituality in the world and that we must strive to achieve adhesion with the Creator. He forgot everything because of the accident he had. And therefore, it does not pain him now that he is in the descent. Therefore, when a person is in a state of ascent,
he
can think and fear that he might have a road accident. That is, now that he is exerting to advance to spirituality, that he will not fall from his degree in the middle. But during a descent, he no longer remembers, because then he has no sensation of spirituality. He can know all this only at the time of Gadlut. Hence the text tells us, say, and you said, to warn the great about the small. In other words, during the Gadlut, which is a time of ascent, this is the time to be careful about the Katnut, meaning not to come into a descent called small. For only during an ascent one can think about the matter of Katnut, meaning about the reason he has come into Katnut. Or one should know that there must be something that causes the descent. This is as I heard from Bala Sulam and Shamari. Yet we must also know that if one could sustain any illumination, even a small one, however, if it were permanent, one would already be considered a whole man. In other words, one would have been able to advance with this illumination.
Hence,
if one loses the illumination, one should regret it. This is similar to a person who placed a seed in the ground so that a big tree would grow from it.
But
he took the seed out of the ground right away.
Thus,
what is the benefit in the work of putting the seed in the ground? Moreover, we can say that he dug out a tree with ripe fruits out of the ground and corrupted them. That is, had he not dug out the seed, the tree with fruits would have grown out of the seed. Likewise, had one not lost this tiny illumination, a great light would have grown out of it. Therefore, he should regret having lost a great light. Therefore, see that
a
person should keep himself with all kinds of precautions during the ascent.
Then,
even if he feels that he has a small sensation, if he does all that he can not to lose it, he will march forward each time. This is the meaning of the words, say, and you said, to warn the great about the small. That is, during the Gadlut, which is a time of ascent, he must make every calculation so as not to come into Katnut, meaning a descent. He must calculate what is the importance he has now of even a small connection to spirituality. He must work with himself that to believe that this feeling comes from above, meaning that at that time the Creator is calling him, and to think how important it is that the Creator is calling him. And also, that if he can keep this small sensation permanently, he will certainly go forward. As in the allegory that this ascent is regarded as only a seed that is placed in the ground, but a big fruit-bearing tree will emerge from that seed. It turns out that he must appreciate the state of ascent and depict to himself as though this is how he is looking at the purpose. That is, as though he already has a big fruit, a big fruit-bearing tree. In what way would he guard the tree so people would not spoil this big tree? In this way, he should continue until he feels in his organs that he must always watch over the tree. And he even does things to hide the tree from people so they cannot cast an evil eye on the tree. Likewise, a person should keep this feeling that now he is in a state of ascent, so that strangers will not cast an evil eye on him. Thus far, we have been talking about the importance of the ascent. However, this is only one side. But we should also think about the state of loneliness during the descent. This is called looking at the other side, what there is to think about. In other words, only during an ascent can a person think about the loneliness of the state of descent. This is called warning the great, meaning a state of gadlut, about the small, the time of katnut, meaning what he might lose if he comes to a state of descent. For only during an ascent can he calculate as the advantage of the light from within the darkness. This can be precisely when he has light. At that time, he can compare between light and darkness, but not while he is in the dark. This is as our sages said, the world was created in 10 utterances, but it could have been created with one utterance. However, in order to avenge the wicked who destroy the world, it was created in 10 utterances, and to give a good reward to the righteous who sustain the world, which was created in 10 utterances. This is seemingly perplexing. We can understand to reward the righteous, so they will have a great reward.
But
to avenge the wicked, why did he do so? After all, the Creator does not complain against his own creations. Why did he make it so that there would be much suffering? We should interpret that in the work, this means that a person should think, what is the good that he might lose, and what is the bad that he might suffer. And from those two, he will come to need to keep the gadlut, meaning the time of ascent. Otherwise, he will see what he can suffer from the state of descent. This is the meaning of to warn the great about the small.
So
what is permanent faith?
permanent or complete faith is when we are in adhesion with the Creator. And we feel the state that He's in, and we feel ourselves in the same state. To bring it back.
Здравствуйте, Раф. Вот в статье написано, что человек должен скрывать дерево от людей, чтобы не сгладить.
It says in the article,
а что это за действие такое сгладить? The person, как люди могут это сделать? Как это влияет?
Keep himself from the evil eye. How can people influence him with an evil eye?
Egoism. In order not to harm. Because in each one there's egoism, and we're not corrected.
Своим эгоизмом каждый может
through his egoism, one could harm the other, and then it will be difficult for a person to come out of his egoism into equivalence of form with the Creator. This is called sometimes an evil eye, to give the evil eye to someone, and so on and so forth.
Querido Rav, yo siento alegría, placer y necesidad de estar con los amigos. ¿Cómo distingo si estoy en un ascenso?
I feel joy and pleasure in the need to be with the friends. How can I discern if I'm in an ascent or a descent?
This is relative to the friends and the Creator. You have no other way to measure where you are. Are you inside the friends, in connection with them? And together, are you with the Creator? At least to some extent.
Barur?
Clear?
Вы частично ответили на вопрос. Ну вот... Как нам удержать свечение между нами?
You answered this question partially, but how can we keep the illumination between us? And what is this danger of having the evil eye from people?
It's best if a person does not disclose his intentions to others. His friends understand it either way. And they know it because they learn the same thing, they live the same thing. But to others,
how do we remain steadfast within the 10 or the group?
Only through the connection with the friends. This is called each shall help his friend. A person has to help his friend. Each shall help his friend. And this way they help. But you also don't know how to measure it. Keep going. Should continue as much as possible, meaning get closer to the friends, connect with the friends. In each and every state, this will bring you benefits, and you'll understand the previous states, the current states, the coming states.
Скажите, пожалуйста, почему нужно оценить время подъема от катнута малого состояния к гадлуту большого состояния?
Why should we value the time of ascent from the katnut to the gadlut?
Мы должны все время пытаться.
We буквально constantly need to
хвататься.
Try to truly hold on to grab hold of the Creator like a child grabbing hold to his mom and constantly be in adhesion with him.
Это делать нужно с помощью объединения?
Отпам?
Это делать нужно.
And we do that through the connection?
Конечно.
We have to do it through the connection?
Спасибо.
Of course, we have no other options.
Rav, on the one hand, the article tells us that the Creator does good to every person. At the same time, we in BB hope that our actions will change things on the earth. So how do we balance these two things together? Because it seems like a contradiction.
We need to understand that by connecting between us, when we reach adhesion with the Creator, by that we change everything. We don't need anything else. Only closeness to the Creator. That's the only thing we should be aimed at and invest all of our energy.
Then is sent equally?
No, because during the descent I move farther away from the Creator until I don't feel Him, and that's a transgression. And during the ascent, I connect to the Creator, I approach Him, I feel Him. I have the power to keep His desire, so it's desirable. That's the difference we have to make between an ascent and descent.
La discesa arriverà comunque. Io voglio stare adeso al Creatore, ma so che prima...
The descent comes, however I know that I'm going to fall.
So what? By knowing that I will fall, is that better for me? I nevertheless have to hold myself.
Да, дорогой Раф, а почему Творец должен дать мне подъем?
Why does the Creator? Why should the Creator give me an ascent? How can I ask of Him? How can I persuade Him to give me an ascent?
Elav. ולכן ברגע ש...
He wants that we will ascend to Him, rise to Him. So the moment we ask, we certainly awaken Him to help us. Although our request should be...
Merhaba. The pleasures forbidden in Torah, are these worldly and physical pleasures? If so, how the satisfaction of these pleasures are related to a man's spiritualism?
They're important because specifically through them, when we see how we're still in them, we have an opportunity to advance, to come out of them, and to approach the Creator.
Merkaz One.
What is the best possible thing that can keep a person during a descent?
His connection to the This is the evil inclination that comes to a person, and he can twist him in any direction from any state. And if a person knows this, meaning he's been through such things before, and he understands that the evil inclination can do whatever it wants with him, and a person is very is very cautious. He makes sure not to fall into the evil inclination. These things are very important.
They're
But permanent faith, it's something we should always aspire to. Fantasize about it to ourselves. How to be in permanent and what can we do for that, friend?
We should always think about better days, when we will be more connected, closer to each other, and all of us will be closer to the Creator. All the time, try to be drawn to such a state. Okay.
Yes.
Another one.
No.
Sí, gracias. ¿Sobre cuáles estados somos responsables? ¿Cuáles descensos podemos producir en la escena?
What can the, which states are we responsible for? Which states of descent we can bring about in the ten?
We shouldn't think about that. We should only think about the positive state, about the ascent, about the connection between us. That's what we need to think about. And never think about the descent.
Descent brings us closer to the Creator during the descent.
The descent, we're not close to the Creator. However, during the descent, we should search for how to be close to the friends. And in this search, we will also find how to get closer to the Creator.
Turkish Mone.
Turkey 8.
Selam Rab, selam dostlarım. Bizler düşüşlere takılı kalmamak için çokça içsel çalışma yapıyoruz. Yükselişler içinde bu hazırlığı, bu içsel çalışmalığı yapmalı mıyız bir sonraki safha için?
We do inner work in order to not stay in the descent. Do we need to also do inner work during an ascent in order to reach the next level, next degree?
Of course, from any ascent, we can reach an even greater ascent. It all depends on our sensation. We can be in an ascent and begin to think that it's not an ascent. This is just a descent. It's a state that precedes the next ascent. So, in such a way, we can rise and rise and rise and not descend.
The wickedness felt here as well. Ultimately, we reach the end of correction. What's the difference?
The wicked and the righteous exist in a single place. And the person discovers how much he is wicked according to the evil inclination in him and how much opposite that he can be righteous according to the good inclination that will grow within him. And in order to separate these two states in each and every one, we have a system called Olam, the world, and this system separates every person from another person, and within the person it separates the good person within him and the bad person within him. This is how we grow. And we always have a choice. We shouldn't run away from the descent. We should be drawn to the ascents.
And
this is what is up for what we should do. Of course, it says refrain from evil and do good, but the most important is to be drawn to the good. coming closer to the Creator, it corrects us in everything.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, friends. Rav, could you elaborate more regarding the practical work on depiction?
האם תוכל להסביר קצת יותר או להרחיב על מה שהרבש אומר כאן שהאדם צריך לתאר לעצמו את המצב הבא? מה זה הדבר הזה?
מצב הבא
הרצוי לאדם... The next state which is desirable for a person is that he will be even more connected with the friends as one man with one heart, and that inside of this connection they will begin to discover the Creator who is one for everyone.
Rav, in this article it said that like your faith should be as knowing and seeing. So it seems this work of depiction is very important for us to overcome what we actually feel and see. How can we practically build this depiction, as you said, be as one, but the depiction need to be something really clear in front of us. So how do we build it?
When I speak with the friends, I get an impression from them, and then I can depict to myself the corrected state.
Здравствуйте. Вопрос по статье. Тут
question about the article.
Прямое указание. Я сейчас зачитаю эту цитату.
Что Рабаш gives us such a feeling or such a direction during the ascent. A person has to make all the calculations so as to avoid the descent, and he should examine the importance he has now. How to evaluate the importance we have right now.
Specifically, try to do it in the 10. Consult with the 10, and all of you together will reach such a state where it will be clear to you how can you appreciate or value your spiritual state.
Meaning, we should think of a certain index in the 10, a certain measurement.
Well, start and you'll see how much it helps you.
Günaydın dostlar. Dostumun sorusudur. Dostu kötü eğilimine göre değil ama erdemine göre yargılamak ne vasıtasıyla mümkün olur? Teşekkürler.
Rav Sheila Shel Haver. Ech efshar lirot o lishpot.
Question from a friend. How can we see or judge the friend according to his good inclination, instead of the bad that I see in him?
It's not simple. You have to come out of yourself and clothe in the friend, and then you can judge him the way he sees himself. What to do? As much as you're connected to the group, it'll help you come out of yourself a bit more towards the group, towards the reason of society, and then you'll also be able to clothe in the friend. Those are the exercises that we have to do.
Hello, Rav. He writes that we need to hold on to that little that we have. What is our work in the states of corporality where it seems like there's no chance of holding on to faith? Are those states truly lost?
No, it's not lost states. You just have to get closer to the friends and grab them with both your hands, with your teeth, and not to let go of them. And then you'll see as much as you have an ability to change your state.
Good
gives important advice about works in the ascent, but how to define that I mean an ascent to know that I should start with the work that he's recommending.
Try. You feel yourself in some kind of state.
So what's the measure? What pleasure and suffering? What defines the greatness of the Creator? How can I decide this is a state of ascent? Because there's pleasure in a descent as well.
You have a desire to rise, to resemble the Creator more, to be closer to Him, or you completely have no forces and no desire for it.
Check.
You can measure everything through the desire. Okay.
Woman PT 33.
Women PT
33.
Thank you, Rav. A friend asked about the danger of the evil eye, and you said that a person doesn't know his intentions. I thought that the intention is not something that's revealed, and only a person himself can feel what intention he's in. So what did you mean when you said that it's best that a person shouldn't discover his intentions?
Hello.
No, that's not right. Sometimes it's revealed to a person, sometimes a person himself can't reveal what state he's in, where he's headed.
But in your answer to the friend, you answered that he shouldn't disclose his intentions to friends because they understand and learn the same thing and it's best not to disclose it.
Yes, so you don't confuse each other.
I still didn't quite understand how you can disclose your intentions.
What do you need to reveal your intentions for?
I don't know if you, how you know your intentions. Can you even show it to someone? It's something that's inside.
Let's say you can, but it's not worth it.
Okay, are we talking about intentions during an ascent or a descent?
Both should be kept to oneself. Usually we don't relate to it. We are in a part of a spiritual path that we're only concerned of the connection between us in tens and tens and tens and no more than that. Okay.
Woman Moscow 6.
Women, Moscow 6.
Thank you, Rav. How to make calculations of gadlut, of greatness, when to not reach a state of smallness, of katnut?
We
need to try more and more to help the friends in the group, to unite the groups.
The heading, the whole of reality is contained in Ein Sof and extends existence from existence, and only the will to receive is new and extends existence from absence. Item 18. Know that the whole matter of innovation, that the Creator had innovated with this creation, which our sages said he elicited existence from absence, applies only to the form of the desire to enjoy, imprinted in every created being. Nothing more was innovated in creation. And this is the meaning of maker of light and creator of darkness. Nachmanides interpreted the word creator as indicating a novelty, meaning something that did not exist before. You see that it does not say create light, since there is no innovation in it, by way of existence from absence. This is because the light and everything contained in the light, all the pleasant sensations and conceptions in the world, extend existence from existence. This means that they are already included in him. Hence, there is no innovation in them. This is why it is written, the maker of light, indicating that there is no innovations or creation in it. However, it is said of the darkness which contains every unpleasant sensation and conception and creator of darkness. This is because he invented them literally, existence from absence. In other words, it does not exist in his reality whatsoever, but was rather innovated now. The root of all of them is the form of the will to enjoy included in his lights, which expand from him. Initially, it is only darker than the upper light, and is therefore called darkness compared to the light. But finally, the klipot, sitra achra, and the wicked cascade and emerge because of it, which cuts them off entirely from the root of life. This is the meaning of the verse, her legs descend to death. Her legs indicate the end of something. He says that in the end, death cascades from the legs of Malchut, the desire to enjoy that exists in the expansion of his light to the Sitra Achra and to those that feed off her and follow her. I'm asking, what is this? What is written here?
Her legs descend to death means that the will to receive gradually from the height that comes from Ein Sof and cascades until it becomes the will to receive in order to receive, and that quality becomes death, meaning it turns off the light, it distances itself from the light. And in this way, she causes death. That's called descent to death.
She
writes, this is the meaning of the verse, her legs descend to death. Her legs indicate the end of something. It's malchut, the desire to enjoy, that exists from the expansion of his light to the Sitra Achra, and to those that feed off her and follow her. Meaning that whoever's in the Sitra Achra enters death. In this item, Bala Sulam emphasizes that the darkness and all the unpleasant things aren't, God forbid, in the light, that he creates the darkness. It's existence from absence, something that isn't in him. Why is that important to be so precise that all the darkness and unpleasant things aren't in the light, but he creates them outside of him?
Because to us, light is the source of life, the source of creation, and it is completely light or completely good. And we don't want to emphasize that there's some root to darkness.
But we have a lot of darkness in our light.
What are you telling us about life? I don't know already. It's already truly taking me outwards completely.
So where does it come?
Our life don't belong to Ein Sof or to the light of Ein Sof or to even the darkness of Ein Sof, to nothing.
When it's written at the end of the cascading, what causes that it's completely cut off the root of life? Where are we compared to this?
I don't know, it's not written.
The death of the Sitra Achra, that's waiting for us above?
No. Nothing bad awaits us above. Item 19.
The title of 19. Because we are branches that extend from Ein Sof, the things that are in our root and pleasurable to are pleasurable to us, and those that are not in our root are burdensome and painful. Again, the title, because we are branches that extend from Ein Sof, the things that are in our root are pleasurable to us, and those that are not in our root are burdensome and painful.
There are no questions for timing. Let's continue reading.
19. We can ask, since this disparity of form of the will to receive must be in the created beings, for how else would they extend from him and shift from being creator to being created beings? This is only possible by the above mentioned disparity of form. Furthermore, this form of the will to enjoy is the primary essence of creation, the axis of the thought of creation. It is also the measure of the delight and pleasure, as we have said above, for which is called a place. Thus, how can we say about it that it is called darkness and extends to the discernment of death, since it creates separation and interruption from the life of lives in the receiving lower ones? We should also understand what is this great anxiety that comes to the receivers because of the disparity of form from his self, and why the great worth about it. To explain the subtle matter sufficiently, we must first clarify the origin of all the pleasures and sufferings felt in our world. Know this. It is known that the nature of every branch is equal to its root. Therefore, the branch desires, loves, and covets every conduct in the root, and does not tolerate and hates any conduct that is not in the root. This is an unbreakable law that applies to every branch and its root, because he is the root of all his creations. Everything in him and that extends from him directly is pleasurable and pleasant to us, for our nature is close to our root. Also, everything that is not in him and does not extend to us directly from him, but rather opposite to creation itself, will be against our nature and will be hard for us to tolerate. For example, we love rest, and hate movement to the point that we do not make even a single movement if not to find rest. This is because our root is motionless and restful. There is no movement in him whatsoever. For this reason, it is against our nature and hated by us. Similarly, we love wisdom, power, wealth, and all the virtues because they are contained in him, who is our root. We hate their opposites, such as folly, weakness, poverty, ignominy, and so on. Since they are not at all in our root, making them despicable, loathsome, and intolerable to us. We should examine how can there be any extension that goes, that does not come directly from him, but from the opposite of creation itself. It is like a wealthy man who called upon a poor fellow, fed him, and gave him drinks, and granted him silver and gold every single day. And each day more than the day before. Note that this man simultaneously tastes two distinct flavors in the great gifts of the rich man. On the one hand, he tastes immeasurable pleasure due to the abundance of his gifts. On the other hand, it is hard for him to tolerate the abundant benefits and is ashamed when receiving it. This matter causes him intolerance due to the abundant gifts showered on him every time. It is certain that this pleasure from the gifts extends to him directly from the wealthy benefactor. But the impatience that he felt in the presence did not come from the wealthy benefactor, but from the very essence of the receiver. The shame awakened in him because of the reception and the free gift. The truth is that this too comes to him from the rich man, of course, but indirectly.
Ad kan.
Effect creation.
The disparity of form is actually good for us because it is how we begin to feel the distance between us and the Creator and creation and between everyone. And then when we put forth efforts, forces and advance, we acquire the qualities within which we become as one. And then in that we feel what it means that from opposite qualities, similar qualities can be, and from distance, connection can take place, and from the forms of creation that are opposite, we can connect in such a way that we won't have any distance between us eventually. The
To begin with, the Creator created us in the will to receive, so that we will feel ourselves differentiated, distanced from Him. That's why I don't quite understand your question. And our work, our problem is that we need to come closer against that separation to the Creator until we are incorporated in Him, are adhered to Him, until we reach the end of our development.
Beseder?
Okay.